said.
Don't believe what I just saw.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
This is John Sheezer. I'm here.
Eric Marino.
Eric.
No, I gotta tell you about the Clippers. I'm an
addict. Sportsaholics, I gotta.
Let's just hope this shit doesn't go viral.
Okay.
All right, we are back and welcome to Sportsaholics number 105. It is a Eric Marino free episode. Eric currently is in Chicago on tour with the roast battle, Jeffrey Ross's roast battle, Brian Moses's roast battle. And that reminds me, listeners, if you're in Southern California, please, next weekend, June 23rd, 24th, La Jolla Comedy Store with Rick Ingram, good friend of mine, hilarious comedian. You can see him every week at the Comedy Store in Hollywood. And Brian Moses, whose roast battle show, Jeffrey Ross and Brian Moses combined forces to produce this show, which will be coming out next month on Comedy Central. So please support that. But yeah, the three of us then will be at the La Jolla Comedy Store for shows. You're going to love it. And then if you're not there for that, then stick around. Come down July 10th, All-Star Game weekend. If you guys are coming into town for the game, the Sunday night, it's the night of the Futures game, so you're not missing anything really. But La Jolla Comedy Store, great lineup: Sarah Tiana, Brody Stevens, Jeff Dye, John Huck, Brant Tobler, and myself, all huge baseball fans. It's gonna be a baseball themed show in the sense I've asked everyone to kind of, you know, maybe tell a funny baseball story, mix it in with their, you know, their material if possible. But so, yeah, if you guys can make that, please do. Go to johnjohnishere.com for more details on that. But this episode is great. I love it because we talk with Jerry Cohen, the president of Ebbets.com. And if you're not familiar with Ebbets.com, it's one of my personal favorite places to shop. And it's all custom jerseys, hats, jackets, all sorts of stuff. It's just incredible. It's all throwback, kind of got a vintage feel to it. So we talked with Jerry Cohen, the president, on this episode. Great company based out of Seattle. All their stuff's made in America, you know, all that kind of good stuff. Then after that, I talk with Henry Frank. Okay, so this guy, I love him to death because he is the owner of the Center City Sports Collectible Shop. It's on 6th Street. So again, 6th Avenue, I believe, or whatever it is. It's like 6th and Broadway. If you're coming in town for the All-Star Game, stop by his shop. It's incredible. You're going to find something. Bring like $100 because he's got a little bit of everything. So we talked with Henry Frank, the owner there. And then I've been working on some new material on stage. And it's not some finalized, you know, it's kind of even hard to listen to, but I'm going to play some of the material I've been working on. Now, pardon the quality. It was recorded with my phone. Pardon the jokes. Some of them I did for the first time, and they're not all crushers, but I'd love to get some feedback on this, you know, and it kind of lets you guys know where I'm headed because I'm planning on getting back out on the road a little bit more frequently this fall. And so this is kind of some of the material that I've been prepping for that. I'll drop that. And then lastly, this week is fantastic because I call on one of the funniest guys I know, longtime associate, college roommate, Kurt Thrushley. And he self-proclaimed king of the DFW. That's the Dallas-Fort Worth area, if you're not familiar. But just Texas guy. He's hilarious because he's always going to say what he thinks. And I think he always is going to say whatever he thinks is going to offend the most people. But very funny. Actually, we get the interview gets interrupted halfway through, which is great. You know, but I put that towards the end. So We get a little bonus interview at the end with Texas Rangers fan, Dallas Stars fan, Pantera fan, just crazy guy, and longtime friend of mine, Kurt Thrutchley. But, you know, okay, so for me, being a sportsaholic, I went out of my way to go see the Ichiro break Pete Rose unofficial hits record, official international hits record. And I mean, if you want to get into start counting minor league hits or what, you know what, that's fine, go do that. But all that aside, Ichiro is a, he's just a better hitter than Pete Rose. I mean, Pete Rose was a beast though. I mean, I don't know, played to like 45 or something, and right now Ichiro looks like he could, he's 43 or 42 and he's killing it this year. And so I go down the last Wednesday, I believe it was the 15th there, yeah, and get there early, try to catch BP, miss it. So I'm sitting there, and it's just one other guy. I'm right on the outfield, best seats I've had in a long time for a game, since probably the ALDS game two last year against the Astros in Kansas City. But I'm at Petco, left field, right on the wall, row A, seat 10. And, you know, as you can reach over, you know, spit on the field kind of a seat. It was great because there was another guy right around my age there early by himself. We get to talking. You know, he's got some sunflower seeds. So it ended up being a dude I could just sit and hang out with the whole game, talk baseball, this and that, and all that kind of stuff. But sure enough, inning one, Ichiro comes out, lays down this weird drag bunt. Derek Norris, who is awful. I mean, offensively, he's horrendous. And the guy, you know, my buddy, my new best friend for baseball day games, which we're going to actually plan on going to the rest of the day games this year at Petco if possible. He's all over Norris. He's like, Norris is a bum. You know, he's horrible. Sure enough, just on further review, like when I got home and saw the replay, it's one of those bunts where clearly the ball's going foul and he just grabs it and throws it, right? And it's a base hit, doesn't get there in time. Should have just let the ball go, but I can't complain because I witnessed that. That was the tying hit, hit number 4,256 there in the first. Strikes out next to bat, grounds out next to bat. Get to the ninth inning. He's not scheduled. He's four deep. First man gets up, single. Okay, second man, I believe, strikes out. And then there's an attempted double play. And if you go back and watch, I mean, it's a high throw to second, so he can't turn to first, and I want to say it was Stanton that was running, which is not necessarily a speed demon. It's very clear that the ball, I don't know, what I'm saying is I think he intentionally missed the base to get the second baseman off so he couldn't turn the double play, because then up comes Ichiro. And then you're looking at a thing where if you're a pitcher, are you saying like, you know what, I don't mind being in the record books for giving up this 4,257th hit to Ichiro. Sure enough, slap right down the right field line, runs around the bases. Everyone's cheering, applauding. Great time. It was a good game. I forgot my sunscreen. I got horrifically sunburned on my forearms. And I've got the, I guess, ginger skin, I guess people call it. So it's like just, I mean, it's not too far away from purple, I think, at its worst state. I've just been bathing in aloe for the past 2 days, and it bleached all my arm hairs, which there are, I've got more hair on my arm than most people do on their head kind of arm. And so now those are all just white, and it just looks like I'm from Iceland or something like that. It doesn't look healthy is what I'm saying. But all right, enough babbling. Guys, when we get back from break, I will be listening to Jerry Cohen, the president of Ebbets.com. And do yourself a favor, go to Ebbets.com, EBBETS.com. And if you buy something, just email them and say, hey, heard you on Sportsaholics. You guys are awesome. John was correct in his assessment of your products. And I'm going to tweet out. I got one of their hats. I'm going to tweet it out, pictures of it. It's awesome. All right, when we get back, Jerry Cohen, Ebbets.com. Back on Sportsaholics with the president of Ebbets Flannels, Jerry Cohen. Mr. Cohen, I wanted to have you on because I love what you've done with sports apparel. And I just wanted to kind of pick inside your brain and to see, like, where did you come up with the idea or, you know, figure out that there was a niche, you know, group of sports fans out here that are dying to get their hands on what you guys are producing?
Well, it would be really clever to say that I did some market research, but actually it was a lot simpler than that. This is just something I wanted for myself. And there were a couple of factors involved. In the late 80s when we started, no one was properly making the vintage wool flannel baseball jerseys. So I got a little obsessed with the quest to find one. And when I couldn't find one, that's when the idea eventually occurred to me to try to do it myself. And the other part that's equally important is that there were big sections of baseball history that I felt had not been recognized, and nobody certainly had done any apparel products for them. So, example, the Negro Leagues and the old Pacific Coast League on the West Coast before the Dodgers and Giants moved out to California. Those were two areas I thought the history there is every bit as wonderful as Major League Baseball. So since no one had touched that, I decided that would be good stories to tell.
No, it's and that's one thing. I mean, I love, you know, as a baseball amateur baseball historian, I actually just 2 weeks ago was at the Negro Leagues Museum in Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And we've had officials from the museum on the show in the past. But that's what I love about your guys' stuff is you really dive into baseball history, you know, and being from Kansas City originally, you know, you've got the Muehlbach, you know, grounds crew jacket. You've got the old Casey, sure. You got the old Casey Feds grounds crew jacket. Like these are fields that most people don't even realize existed, let alone like incredible baseball was played and legendary baseball players played on these fields. So just scouring your website, which listeners is just ebbets.com, EBBETS.com, you end up learning more about this game that you already love. It's incredible.
You know, you're in Kansas City, so this is kind of interesting, and we just got this by actually a customer sending it to us. But our biggest selling hat now, believe it or not, is from the old Katz drugstore, KATZ, in the Kansas City area. That was from World War One, basically through I think the 1960s, and their very recognizable logo of a head of a cat on a baseball cap. Go to the website and see it. But they sponsored a baseball team in the Ban Johnson League.
I was going to say that's the Ban Johnson League is it's a summer league. I actually had some friends growing up that participated in it. But it's like the best college players regionally all come.
That's right.
And it's a wood bat league also. So that's, you know, they kind of bring that essence of the Cape Cod League kind of to the Midwest. And I am familiar with that Cats. I opted for the Kansas City Blues hat, which I thank you for putting back on sale. For months and months, it was not available.
I know. Our problem is we use so many things, especially hats. And, you know, the idea or the attempt to inventory all of them, because, of course, we sell them fitted in eight sizes. So to keep every hat we've ever done in stock simultaneously is not financially feasible.
No. So
what we try to do is rotate every, like I'm right now when you called me, I was getting the next batch ready for release. We've got 9 new ones coming out this month. And what we try to do is we always come out with some new ones and we always reactivate some old ones. And that Kansas City Blues one is really popular. I think we'll just keep that in permanently.
You know what? I would recommend it right now with the amount of love in Kansas City going for the Royals. I mean, that's how I kind of stumbled across it. It's like, I already own every Royals hat. I want something new. And so, and the fact that, you know, Mickey Mantle wore that hat, you know, in theory.
He sure did.
For a couple months at least, but he wore it. And it came in the mine came in the mail a couple days ago, and I love it. It's comfortable. You look at it, and it is. You can tell it's custom made. There's no detail that went unnoticed, or in this case, unstitched. It's an incredible hat, and it looks like it's going to be on my head for years to come.
Well, we hope so. I mean, we try to make stuff that's timeless, and you're going to want to keep wearing. We don't. get involved in contemporary logos and things that are designed to be disposable in 2 years when the team needs to generate new licensing revenue and they change everything up. We kind of feel like there was a sweet spot from the 20s to the 60s where the designs are really timeless and the construction and materials used also were superior. And they were made in America back then by yeah. American local companies very often. So that's what we try to capture. We do a few things that are later and a few things that are earlier, but the sweet spot for us is that kind of the heyday of minor league history before the minors became totally subsumed by Major League Baseball, which really was started to happen in the late 50s. So the Blues is one of the great, there are maybe 20 or 30 teams that were around for decades in the independent minor leagues, and the Blues was certainly one of the top ones.
Yeah, it's for the listeners at home, you know, back in that era, yeah, you know, the Negro Leagues at one point were broken up to several different leagues. They kind of came together, you know, originally. But yeah, and then you had the Pacific Coast Leagues, and then you had your major, but then you had your Pioneer League up in the Northwest. And
what people don't realize is that until 1953, there were only 10 cities in the U.S. that had major league teams. And New York had three teams, and several cities like Philadelphia and St. Louis had two teams each, Chicago also, and Boston. So you only had 10 cities in the whole country that supported Major League Baseball, and it only went as far west as St. Louis. Nothing in the South, nothing in the West, nothing in Texas. So those leagues before television brought Major League Baseball into people's homes. People went out and supported their local professional team because there were hundreds and hundreds of communities of all sizes that had professional baseball, little towns to big cities like Kansas City.
Yeah, and again, listeners, go to ebbets.com, EBBETS, and again, to get back to learning, like that's, you uncover, you're like, oh, I never knew there was a professional city in that, or team in that town. And then you stumble across the Iowa, Illinois, Indiana League. Was it the three I sure. leagues? You know, just stuff like that. It, you know, it's incredible. And then I was going to ask you or tell you how I think I initially stumbled across your site is I'm actually based in San Diego right now as I'm talking to you. And a couple mm-hmm. months ago, I went down. They just put a memorial up for Lane Field, which is the original Pacific Coast League for the, I believe, the San Diego Seals at the time, or they might have been.
Nope, they were
still the Padres then.
Padres, yep.
And, but it's where Ted Williams played, you know, before he goes to Boston and hit this infamous home run that ends up in Los Angeles because it lands in a railroad car on its way north.
That's right.
It's so... It's an incredible memorial, and they've got a home plate and pitcher's mound and stuff. So, but in digging up online on Lane Field, I stumbled across your Lane Field, you know, grounds crew jacket, and then opened the whole door up to everything else that you guys do, which is incredible. So, listeners, I cannot stress enough, go to ebbets.com and prepare to be there for 20, 30, 40 minutes, and you're going to want to make a wish list also. Do you guys have any, like you mentioned, you guys are releasing some hats in a couple weeks here. Do you guys got anything else
actually
coming up?
Releasing five hats tomorrow.
Oh, tomorrow.
Should be another four next week. Yeah, that is going to be the newest things we come up with. And we're working on, you know, we've always got something new going on. One thing I'm really enjoying now is we did... Back in the old days, they used to publish the diagrams of all the fields with the distances, like from home plate to each part of the outfield, and usually the seating diagram. So we've done a series of T-shirts that we call diagram T-shirts. So that has like the, you know, the old Shy Park in Philadelphia diagram and Ebbets Field, of course, and the Polo Grounds and some of the others, too. So that just came out as well.
Oh man, I'm so envious. I mean, to be able to work, you know, within baseball in the sense of, and educate people on baseball at the same time and have that be your profession. I think you have a perfect life, Jerry. It sounds like
it's a lot of fun. I'm glad I was able to do this. Who knows what I've been doing if I hadn't come across this idea, because it fits perfectly with my personal love of the graphics as well as the history of the game. So,
it's spot on, and I'm shooting myself for walking right past your guys' storefront when I was up.
Well, next time you're in town, pop in.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And I was going to ask you if you had any intentions on maybe heading down south for the All-Star Game weekend or for any baseball games. If you do, be sure and look me up.
Definitely will.
And, there you have it, listeners. Jerry Cohen, president of Ebbets Flannels. Please visit his website, ebbets.com, EBBETS.com. And, of course, I'll be tweeting out and put out on Instagram pictures of my hat because it's the best. It's going to be my hat. It's my summer hat. It's fine.
We love those testimonials.
Thank you so much. It'll be up on YouTube. I'll probably end up ordering another one. So if you ship another one of these to San Diego in the next couple months, that's mine. That's mine.
Terrific.
Well, Jerry, thank you so much for your time. Listeners, go check out the website. You're going to love it. And, I'll give you a call. We'll have you back on in a couple months when you guys have a new line coming up.
Yeah.
All right.
Anytime. Thank you.
You stay busy. We'll talk soon. Ebbets.com. Just go. You're going to find something. I mean, they've got hats from all different cities. You know, like old Portland Mavericks hat, their independent league / minor league team there from the 70s. Old Portland Beavers. Tons of Pacific Coast League, Hollywood Stars. You got Los Angeles Angels that played at Wrigley Field. This is stuff I didn't even know there was a Wrigley Field in Los Angeles until I went to the Ebbets website. I'm like, why is there an LA jacket that says Wrigley Field on it? Like I said, you learn about baseball just scrolling through their website. And they got a ton of good stuff, so buy it. Up next, I've spent a lot of money at this guy at Center City Sports Collectibles. When and if you're ever in San Diego, it's on 6th Avenue, right downtown, I think on Broadway or C. I'm not sure which. One of those two streets. But Henry Frank, the owner, great guy. Just prepare yourself. It's a little overwhelming when you go in there, but take some cash. You're going to find something. I go there all the time, gotten old school patches. I actually bought a Pete Rose patch. Speaking of the hit king himself, mailed it to my brother in Cincinnati. You know, it was like 40 years old. Awesome. So do yourself a favor when you're down in the San Diego area, stop by, say hi to Henry, great guy. And they got, like I said, they got hats, they got pennants, cards, balls, plates, jerseys, banners, replica dolls. I mean, baseball cards, ball cases, lanyards, poster. I mean, it just goes on and on and on. All right, when we come back from break, we'll be talking with the owner of Center City Sports Collectibles in downtown San Diego, Mr. Henry. All right, we're back on Sportsaholics. I'm here actually live from Center City Sports Collectibles in downtown San Diego. I'm here with Henry Frank, the owner, proprietor, and the man that creates all the magic here. How are you doing today? I'm glad you allowed me to come in here early and get you on the show here before business cracks open here, but... How did this begin? I love this. I love coming in here. I love your shop. How did this all start?
Just love sports. Wanted to get involved with something that I love.
And it was as simple as that. And you mentioned you've been open more than a quarter of a century.
Yeah, since 1989, 27 years.
Now did that just grow from, like, is this the original location or did you?
I was a couple doors up from where I am right now, and then 10, 12 years ago, I moved over to where I am located now.
Which, when you guys, and we're doing a constant All-Star weekend, kind of from episode to episode, things to do. Last week it was yoga. The yoga, there's like a big yoga, I guess, weekend. We had Bart Slabcorn on from gaslampball.com, who's like one of the bloggers for the Padres. So he suggested some things. I'm going to suggest you come down to 1027 6th Avenue, and then bring cash. Is that preferred?
Cash, credit cards.
Cash. See, that's what's great about this. It's not one of those like cash only places. Just bring money and bring time, because you're going to come in here and you're going to want to just look and you're going to find something that you're going to want to buy.
Yeah, we have everything in sports collectibles: baseball, football, hockey, horse racing, auto racing, tennis, whatever you can think of.
He's not kidding. Whatever you can think of, they've got here. Now, what started your collecting? Like, what was the first thing?
I started with baseball cards and just went from there.
Did you have a certain card that you cherished that no matter what I would bring to you?
I think I loved them all, and there was none really in particular.
What about a favorite player that you had growing up?
Ken Griffey Jr., I think.
Yeah, there you go.
Hank Aaron was another one.
Very nice. Now, you mentioned, there might possibly be some autograph signings. I won't say, it's nothing finalized like that. Now, would that be leading up to All-Star Game weekend? Is that something that
I'm sure we'll have something going on. Somebody signing here, maybe a 1, 2, 3 players. We'll see how it goes.
And now, as far as the like, whenever I grew up, it was in the 90s, and so we had like the Shaq. I call it the Shaq boom of baseball, and then the Griffey. It's like you had the Griffey '89 Upper Deck. You had the Shaq. Was it Top Stadium Club? I think refractor that was like $500. Like when
Top's finest refractors and chrome refractors. Now, just everybody's into Bryce Harper and Mike Trout.
So that's the new Shaq.
Those are the two main guys they're after as far as baseball.
Now, would you say, is their star power great enough to, I don't want to say like bring back baseball cards because they never win anywhere, but when you notice like a big celebrity to come onto the scene, like a Harper or LeBron, does that spike, the memory?
It helps out because people want to get a piece of it and be in on the action. But unfortunately these days, a lot of the kids have gone to cell phones. That's what keeps them busy.
Oh, so you're thinking that actual physical collecting of memorabilia is trending downwards in the millennials?
As far as the cards, but as far as, the other autograph stuff, the kids are still into it.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, they better be, because, I mean, there's something wrong with a kid if they don't want to collect, sports memorabilia at some level. Now, are Topps and Bowman, are they trying to combat that at all digitally?
They're doing some stuff digitally. I really don't pay attention to that.
Yeah, you're like, I can't have that.
It doesn't do anything for me, but they do some things.
Now, what is your, it doesn't have to be like, I don't know if you have a top three or top five, but what's like the coolest, sports card or memorabilia that, I don't even know if you have it here in the shop. Maybe it's back at your home, but is there anything that stands out?
You know what?
Like, what are you taking to the grave with you, I guess, is the best. Never selling, nothing.
Just, I like old vintage stuff, signed baseballs or just nice old stuff. Nothing in particular. I love it all.
See, that's a nice blanket. So if I came at you and I was like, hey, Henry, I've got this this Buck O'Neill autographed baseball for you. You'd be like, okay, cool. Like, old manager, first Negro Leagues coach in the big leagues, bench coach for the Cubs in the 60s, managed the old Kansas City Monarchs. But you would appreciate that just for the historical.
Absolutely, of course.
Oh, that is. See, and that's why, I don't know, I'm almost envious when I come in here because I'm like,
I had somebody yesterday come in with, they had a lot of boxing stuff, Muhammad Ali and these old boxers, Joe Louis, some autograph stuff, and then the very next customer had showed me some items with Babe Ruth on it. So you just never know what's going to come through here.
Oh wow! Now are you talking like still photos or
signed photograph? Yeah.
Now how do you even
it's
when that
surprising that you still see all this stuff come through?
Yeah, I guess it does just get a lot of people. If you're buying in a Babe Ruth, autograph, you're thinking, oh, I'm going to hold on to this and pass that down. Well, then it gets passed down, and then the kid holds on to it, for 20 years, and then eventually he's got to pass it down to someone or at least try to sell it, and maybe recoup the value on that. Now, when that comes in, are you tempted to actually pick it up, or are you going to like call a friend and actually assess the value of something like that before?
I do that sometimes, but a lot of times they'll bring in stuff. They just really want to know what it's worth and how much they should insure it for, and they just want information.
Oh, so you're almost like,
fine.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've come in here for pretty much the same thing, just on like sports patches and pins and, you know, and that sort of thing.
Right.
Now, do you feel like you've just got a endless well of knowledge in your brain now after almost three decades of collecting?
Pretty much. A lot of people come to me with questions all the time.
Well, you know, with that, and because, you know, because of my parking situation, Henry, I'm going to let you go, but I'm going to come back and pry your brain a little bit deeper here. But I fear our time has come. We could ride out in the darkness, chasing the rising sun. We gotta pack our bags this instant. We're heading southbound to the next town. And if we arrive there, so safely, All-Star weekend game, whenever. It just there's a lot of great stuff to do in the Gaslamp area downtown San Diego. And that's one of them, is just go say hi to Henry. Nothing wrong with that. Okay, so I don't even want to get in the Warriors. By the time this is posted or you guys hear this, the finals will be decided. I'm going Cavs. I just, for Cleveland, I know it doesn't make sense, but Cleveland, they finally get the championship. LeBron knows, like, you can't be 2-6 or whatever it is in the finals and be like better than Jordan. I mean, the fact that you've lost already this many, but this squashes Steph Curry. This is your opportunity to go to Steph Curry's house, LeBron, put a muzzle on him and say, no, I'm the MVP. I mean, like, it's with no one has any doubt who the best player in the world is. Sorry, Steph Curry, it's me. I'll still buy your wife's cookbook. I'm still trying to figure out why Steph Curry's wife is verified on Twitter, which means like you're a celebrity, or like, oh, we've double checked, this is her. I'm like, I don't know. I don't need, she's not a celebrity. All she did is reproduce with the NBA MVP. And it's not like her cooking's any better than your wife's, you know, or your husband's at home, you know, like whoever's baking your meal when you get home from work, from listening to this, their food's not any better than Steph Curry's wife. You know, she doesn't need, what I'm saying is, she doesn't need a cookbook. But anyway, I now, this is just some really raw stand-up comedy recorded at the La Jolla Comedy Store a few days back. It's some new material that I've been working on. And it was recorded with my phone. So be patient with the quality. I'll try to refine it as much as I can so that it's tolerable. But guys, please enjoy some of my new jokes.
This next guy, he is just a fucking warm bowl of milk. He will be featured here 2 weekends from now for Rick Ingram. And if you like Coors Light, you have seen him in the National Coors Light tournament. Give up for John Cheeser, everybody.
That spin move. No, go off that. Oh man, I love you, dude. I love you, man. I love you because, like, you look like the type of guy when you go to leave tonight, you just get in your car and you start it up. This, all you hear is my Maserati does 185. I lost my license, but now I can't drive. Yeah, I know. You got that shit bumping right now in your IROC outside.
I'm not a heck
or Trans Am.
I'm
a fan. Tell me you've done blow with members of Rush. Please.
I don't even know them. I'm too old.
I know. You're not. No, you're not. You know who Rush is. That's the guy that sounds like a girl. Living in the limelight. The universe dream. For those who wish to be. I'm from the Midwest. I know all the white trash hits. I used to mow my fucking yard in the back when I was like 8, just listening to Rush.
Living in the limelight.
That's right. We mowed our own grass growing up. That's the Midwest. What is up, guys? Seems like a good fucking crowd tonight. Thanks for coming out, supporting live comedy. You guys are obviously on to round 3 at this point of your beverages. Nice. I'm good. Like John Early, recently married. I'm not having a kid, luckily. My wife is applying no pressure into that area, which is great.
because I get calls from all my buddies. They're like, oh, Jessica fell down and messed up her teeth. We gotta take her into the dentist, and it's gonna cost $6,000 to fix her face. So I was like, that sucks. Yeah, because me and my wife went to Hawaii with the $6,000 that we had and had sex for 2 weeks and got drunk every night. Didn't have to fix anybody's teeth, you know, but, you know, a straight smile, you know, is priceless, right, guys? That's what the dentist told you. For $6,000. I'm just happy that I don't have to have a kid right now because I don't want to. The pressure of naming a kid right now is huge. Like, you can't just, like, have a normal kid name. It's got to be, like, some cool, no one's got the name. Long gone are the years of just, like, kicking a Bible over and pointing at, like, Luke or Matthew or John, that's me. See, I'm crazy. My parents were crazy. I was born in the 80s, and I'm John, no H, J-O-N. That was a crazy name in the 80s, just John, no H. Not even short for Jonathan. Ooh, it's J-O-N. My buddy named his kid Cambridge recently. Like, you named your son Cambridge, that's cool. But I'm like, you realize you barely graduated from community college, right? Like, you can't just name your kid Cambridge and all of a sudden he's gonna be like Albert Einstein or something. Like, you're not even Jewish, Dave. You know, it doesn't work like that, you know? Now all that you're ensuring is that 18 years from now, there's probably gonna be an 18-year-old named Cambridge with a GED somewhere. Fixing transmissions. That's what I'm guessing. Be at AC Depot getting a battery, like, Cambridge will help you. Be like, your name's Cambridge? Yeah, what kind of car do you have, sir? I'm like, I don't know. I'm still mystified by your awesome name of Cambridge. Like, yeah, my dad was a fucking moron. And I feel bad for, like, if you teach kindergarten, first grade, right now it's got to be just bonkers. Like, I mean, we're in season 6 right now in Game of Thrones. I mean, you can only imagine, like, one. We're missing one. Oh, every time. Khaleesi, recess is over! Khaleesi, come on in! Come on in! Anyone else out there named after HBO shows, recess is over. That goes for you, Tony Soprano. I know you failed a couple years now. We'll get you reading in no time. Cursive is hard. Don't feel bad. Come on in, Tony. Like, I'm serious. Like, how does that work? 40 years from now, this lady's walking around trying to get her ID renewed at the DMV, and they're like, Khaleesi, Khaleesi. They're like, it's Khaleesi. And they're like, oh, is that like from, is that Dutch? They're like, no, it's from Game of Thrones, this show from 40 years ago that no one gives a shit about or knows about anymore. Now I have to explain that my name's Khaleesi because my mom and dad name thought that was going to be a good name for me back in the, when I was in the 14s. Whatever they're going to call the teens, I guess, is like what we're referring to this era when we reflect on it in the future. We hate vegans, right?
Yes.
Right. I mean, I felt bad for that lady that died on Everest. Because I just felt bad for the amount of shit she got for dying. I've never seen so much somebody get so much shit on for dying before. Because if you're not familiar with the story, vegan from Australia plans to hike Everest. Vegan attempts to hike Everest on a vegan diet. Vegan brags about hiking Everest. Vegan dies on Everest. Everyone shits on vegan dying on Everest. That's pretty much the whole thing. It's like, people are like, what a dumbass. How are you gonna hike up Everest on carrots and celery? You can't do that. Everest just piled, the problem was she bragged too soon. She would've just waited and hiked Everest and then started bragging, then it's like, yeah, okay, no big deal. But I mean, people die every day on Everest. She just happened to open her big vegan mouth and brag about how she was gonna do it. Vegans are hated so much, like they would be shot in the Cincinnati Zoo. That's how much. In the Midwest? Dude, you know in the Midwest, you can't even buy like the naked berry juices that are like free, like they're everywhere. You can't even try to shop healthy in the Midwest. It's ridiculous. Like, do you have anything with real juice or like a fruit? Anything that's not meat, beef related here, sir? No? The Cincinnati thing was tragic. They were like, where's the blame? Is it on the zoo? Is it on the gorilla? Is it on the mom? She's not getting pressed for charges. And like, what blows, I don't have kids, so I don't know, but like, you hear parents, like, kids get away, they just get away. I'm like, you know, the zoo's kind of a good, like, don't let the kids get away area, you know? It seems like a good place to keep a watchful eye on your kid. You're at the zoo, you know, and now because this lady let her kid climbed into the gorilla. Now they're just going to treat everyone like smokers. They're just going to like paint a line on the floor and then like around all the cages. And if you're not directly touching your kid or staring at them, a zoo employee will come up and be like, sir, you are illegally participating in zoo activities right now. Would you please touch your child? Okay, that worked a lot better last week. I fucked it up with the intro. You can't start with shooting people to start off a joke. I just don't get PETA's. PETA's like, I hate zoos. Zoos are so mean. They just trap these animals in there and they're stuck. I'm just like, that's zoo fucking Playboy Mansion. That's animal like heaven, right? It's like, dude, if you're like a giraffe, you just get fed all day, you sleep, you wake up, you get fed again, you sleep, you win. If you're a giraffe in the wild, here's all you do. You just pray you have food, you eat it while you're constantly looking around in case you don't get murdered. And then all you do is not hide anywhere because you're a fucking giraffe. You're constantly getting fucked with. At a zoo, giraffes in heaven, you know, just relaxing. All animals, you know, maybe a lion, that's kind of cool maybe, you know, that's king of the jungle. He doesn't get to kill his shit. They just throw it in a cage. But I'm just like, who really hates animals? PETA, ask yourself that question. They seem like they're really against animal relaxation to me. My opinion. All right. You guys ready for your next comedian? This guy, I love him to death. You guys are going to love him as well. Put your hands together for Paul Herman, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, I mean, you can't start a joke off with murder. It's just not a good. So I learned my lesson. I don't. When I do that joke now in the future, I will not start it off with murder. So those are some of my thoughts on names of your children. And keep in mind, I think I'll say there's like 12, maybe 15 people in that audience. You know, it was towards the end of the night, but no excuses. I was happy with that set, or else I wouldn't have put it on here for you guys to listen to. And thank you for listening to that. And if you liked it, you know, cool. Let people be like, hey, there's this guy, the show I listen to, Sportsaholics. It's on iTunes and Stitcher. You should check it out. It's awesome. You can actually find it at johnjonishere.com. You should check that out. And so when you recommend that, just so, oh, hey, by the way, towards the end of the show, there's some comedy I think you might enjoy. You know, maybe that's how it goes. But just know those jokes, when you hear them in person, will be refined months from now. I'm going to put in the work and just fine-tune everything. And then hopefully when you see me on stage somewhere, it'll be a nice finished product. You'll be like, oh, yeah, you weren't kidding. You came a long way with that gorilla shooting joke you were working on there. Okay. Last but not least, so this is my buddy Kurt coming up. I tried to get him on with the Rangers stuff. I'm sorry, with the NHL playoffs. Huge Dallas Stars fan. Couldn't arrange that because he got run over by a car. Was in the hospital. And so once you get hit by a car as a bitter person, you kind of become more bitter and understandable. You've got metal rods in your legs. So we talk, he's a little bitter about the Stars losing in the playoffs, but no one expected him to really do that much anyway. But he is happy to talk about the Rangers, who are currently leading the AL West and have been playing well, playing around injuries to some of the players. And I mean, really look like one of the teams to beat, you know, in the AL to make it to the World Series this fall. But all right, sit back, relax. Also, in the middle of this interview, something very funny happens. It'll take all of you guys back to high school, and it's the classic, oh shit, mom and dad are home, and it's hilarious. But anyway, enjoy it. When we get back, we'll be talking, I guess we'll be talking Rangers and Dallas Stars hockey, kind of. We'll kind of be doing that. All right, we are back on Sportsaholics, and we have tracked down my personal longtime friend going all the way back to college, Kurt Thrutchley, and we found him in, I'm assuming you're in Arlington. He's a DFW diehard till the day he dies. Go Tejas, hook 'em horns, go Aggies, go Raiders.
No, we're not going to go that that far. But 817 till I die. Hey, I've lived in 818, 817, and 816.
Dude, that's
so
repping.
I've got all three.
That's repping the Valley. That's repping Texas. That's repping Kansas City, Missouri. Really hard there. Your Uncle Monty would be very proud.
He's going to be here today.
Well, I brought you on because there's been a lot going on in sports in your area. First and foremost, you're a Dallas Stars fan, and unfortunately,
yeah,
they were.
And unfortunately, we died a horrible death this year.
But you made it, and you guys got great fans. And for those of you that don't know, Pantera, which is also not really a white supremacist band. I saw some stuff going around on Facebook a couple months back. But Pantera is, were they from Dallas or are they just from Texas? What?
I smoked weed with Pantera. The guys live right down the street from me. Well, the surviving members live right down the street from me.
For those of you that don't know, Dimebag Daryl, about 5 or 6 years ago during a show, maybe longer, a guy got up on stage and shot and killed him during the concert. So he was one of the, one of the more fan favorite members of the band, and so the surviving members, though, do they still have that house down the street from you?
They do. And they every year for Halloween, they put these green monster hands on top of their roof.
So these are just grown men and they just live there. It's just kind of like
They're grown men. I went over there with my buddy Robot one time, and they didn't have enough money to pay him for the tip for the pizza that we delivered that I was riding with him. So they instead gave us shots of tequila, and that was the tip.
So let me get the story straight. Your buddy is delivering pizzas. You're riding along. You go to Pantera's house, or does he call you and say, "Hey, I'm going to Pantera's house to deliver a pizza"?
No, I was already riding with him.
Oh, okay, nice. You're just riding shotgun, and so, but anyway,
yeah,
so
we were smoking weed in the car, and
well, of course,
we got a call. We had to go over to Pantera's house and deliver a pizza. And
they couldn't
they
pay
like,
for
well,
it.
We don't have any money to pay you, but we can give you some shots of tequila. And we were like, okay.
You're like, how about some shots of tequila and some pictures, so people believe this ever happened? But so they're almost at every hockey game from what I understand. Now, does that carry?
When we won the cup in '98, I was walking over to Reunion Arena, which does not exist anymore. They blew it up. But we were walking over there, and the guys from Pantera were painted completely green, like their skin was painted green, and they were so drunk. They were walking through the parking garage, and I was like, wait a minute, that's Pantera. And I had already been over to their house and drank tequila with them, so I was just like, is that Pantera just completely wasted? They had like a float that they drove down part of the downtown Dallas area. And, I guess after they played their set, they got a little too inebriated and they were, walking through the parking garage back to their car. And I was like, yep, that's Pantera.
Now, do you ever see them at the Rangers game? Because that's the hot ticket now in Dallas is the Rangers, who have a 6-game lead in the division. They've just been crushing people. You guys sucker punched Canada right in the face last month when Odor socked Bautista right in the eye. So is there Rangers fever now sweeping Dallas? Is everyone just walking around in Rangers memorabilia?
I actually have a T-shirt that I wear on a daily or on an almost daily basis. It's that stupid DB-88 or whatever that stupid new droid is from the dumb new Star Wars movie that I can't stand. But it says, "May the Force be with you." And it's actually the round part of the robot is a baseball, and it's got a big Texas Rangers thing behind it.
Nice. So even you, a pot smoking anarchist, is behind the Texas Rangers right now, is what you're saying. It's a good
time. I am
I am a pot smoking anarchist.
I know.
And I do support. And I do support that. I'm actually smoking weed right now,
well,
as we speak.
I know, I know. And you know, if you were in California, it would be even more legal for you to do so. But what I'm saying is there's excitement there. Now I already.
Oh, dude, Rangers fever is on fire right now, bro. Tell me the last game we lost.
We
haven't lost a game in like over 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, that actually is not true. I'll tell you right now, the last time you lost the game was actually Monday, 3 days ago. But the point is that you crushed the Mariners. You swept the Mariners at home. Or no, I'm sorry. You took 2 out of 3. Or no, I'm sorry. At the Mariners. You guys are just on fire. You're dominating everyone in your division. And
oh, dude, we got to put this out. Put all that away.
Somebody's busted. But anyway,
yeah,
it's exciting.
Put them over there and put all that shit away right now.
Oh, I'm gonna go silent and let this play out. This is great for you guys listening on your way to work. This is someone.
What's that? Oh, maybe, yeah, you're fine.
Maybe getting busted smoking weed.
Yes, I am. My parents just came home and we're smoking weed and drinking beer. So
busted. That's right. Good old see. But anyway, all that aside, whether they care, you could just say, "Hey, the Rangers won last night."
Take it. You take it. Put it over there.
This is awesome.
So bad right now.
This is awesome.
Well, it doesn't matter. Let's get back to sports. What's going on here?
I don't know, but that was all. Anyway, that was. I hope everything's fine on the home front back there for you in Texas.
Oh, it'll be fine. I'm not worried about it. It's not even that big of an issue.
Now, have you been to any Rangers games this year?
Put that thing over there, underneath of there, away from everything.
I'm sorry, I can't.
Like dealing with toddlers.
No, you're gonna get grounded. Our listeners also at home. Curtis in his 30s.
I'm trying to listen to two people sitting next to me, and then I'm trying to listen to you too.
I know, but I'm just laughing, so you don't have to listen to much over here. Oh man, this is awesome. Are you planning on going to any Rangers games this year?
Of course, I'm planning on going to a Rangers game.
I don't know. Are you gonna?
I mean, like,
if you're not grounded,
goddamn Stars lost. So I mean, that was the worst thing. Who ended up winning anyway?
Pittsburgh.
Was it Tampa Bay?
No.
Or
it was the
Penguins.
The Penguins. It was the Penguins. And guys, listeners, Kurt is a big hockey fan, but he got hit by a car 3 weeks ago. Not even hit, run over by a car. So he's been in the hospital for a while. So, you know, he's been kind of, out of the news, if you will, you know, and then obviously mixed with this heavy amount of marijuana consumption, you know, also missed the fact that, Pittsburgh, they beat San Jose.
Fuck the Penguins, man. And Gordie Howe just died, too.
Gordie.
That was Mr. Hockey.
Mr. Hockey.
Familiar with him?
Yeah, absolutely. Wayne Gretzky's currently trying to get his number 6 retired all throughout the NHL.
Yeah, well, Gordie Howe just died. And he actually died on my friend's birthday.
Wow! What are the odds? Hey, you want to get anything else in here before we wrap up?
I mean, what else do you want to ask me?
How many weeks are you going to be grounded for smoking weed and drinking beers at your parents' house?
If they hear this podcast, probably for a long time.
Oh, well, let's hopefully they do not have Facebook, iTunes, or Stitcher, which listeners, you all know that you can find Sportsaholics on iTunes. And if you are going to be on iTunes, just leave a comment, you know, down there, or a like, or whatever the hell that happens. But Kurt Thrutchley, thank you for your time and your insight. I hope you do not get grounded. If Kurt's parents are listening, this was all just a sketch that we wrote, actually, that involved, it was actually called
When That's a way to sell it.
It's When Parents Come Home. We're actually trying to recreate the summer.
They're actually here right now.
We're trying to recreate the summer of 1998. If that was going to happen, like it's like you get home from school early.
That was the year the Stars won the Cup.
Exactly. That's what calling it back right to that. And then so what happens here is that we're just trying to recreate the summer of 98. You get home from school early. You start to party. And then, parents show up. And then what do? So that was just, you know, mom and dad, that's all that was for Kurt. Kurt's parents, if you're listening, we were just kind of, you know, it was a sketch idea that we had been working on. But Kurt, thank you for your time, man. Have a great rest of your day. And get a barbecue going. Get some meat on the grill. It sounds like you guys are having a great time down there. I hope you're not grounded, Kurt, and I appreciate the time and sacrificing some of your freedoms to be on the show, and I hope you didn't give yourself up. I hope you're not grounded, and you know, maybe we can do that again in the future, you know, once this fall comes around. But this time, you know, maybe don't smoke a blunt in your parents' backyard when you're talking to me. Just wait, talk to me, and then smoke the blunt after the interview next time, if the Rangers make the World Series, which I don't want them to do, and I don't think they will do anyway. And I still wish kind of Ron Washington was your head coach, but he cheated on his wife and quit because I think she gave him an ultimatum that was all or nothing kind of a deal, and so he's no longer your head coach. So I really can't get behind the Rangers anymore now that Ron Washington's not your skipper there, Kurt. So what do you think about that? All right, that's the show. Let's run over some few things. You're going to go to Ebbets.com, EBBETS.com. And thanks again to Jerry Cohen, the president of Ebbets.com, for coming on, kind of help break down the company and how they started and what their, you know, their philosophy is. And I'll tell you, it's incredible. I love the hat that I've got, and I'm going to buy more. And let's see, who else are we thinking? Henry Frank at Center City Sports Collectibles, downtown San Diego. By all means, go in there. Buy some stuff. Say hi to and take some money. Say hi to Henry. Take some money because you're gonna want to get something. And Kurt Thrutchley, what can I say, man? Incredible insight on the Rangers. And what do we got here? Oh, all right, nice. Sorry for the interruption there. Anyway, guys, stay obsessed. Thanks for listening. Eric is in all across the country this week. Hopefully, he'll be back next. Stay obsessed.
Fornicate foreign hoes that I date like every day. Hey, yeah, I rock the Wrath. Yeah, I bought the Wraith. Yeah, I'm out of state. Yeah, I like the race. Yeah, I wake up late. Yeah, I'm out of shape. Yeah, I'm eating crepes. Yeah, I'm sipping wine. Yeah, she feed me grapes. Hey, she make no mistakes. Me make more complaints. I love how she thinks she graduated with that brain. She go to Lamborghini hot. Lambo by the crib. This is how we.
Bitches, bitches. that money. Big accounts that spend that bread. Cash out on your necklaces. 14 karat bracelet. Double devil with the lean. High tech with the cream. Soda as I whip the YOLO. Lambo red Coca-Cola. My bros Costa Nostra rotting on a speedboat. You sucking, licking deep throat. Ray Mysterio when I'm jumping off the top rope. Banana clip with the scope. Wearing all white like I'm the motherfucking Pope. I'm on the Lamborghini high, glide through the sky, hell. Yeah, me vision got us rich, catch a nigga flying by the limo. Tipping the Henny got me gone, now I'm getting in my zone, hell. RP to my nigga, the gallon going to my dome, hell. This how I feel to be rich, fucking bitches in the mix, yeah. Where the Dickies is at, Lamborghini with the shits, yeah. Little new part lit, young love with the shits, yeah. I ain't with the game, bitch, she blowin' my cartridge, yeah. Listen, why I'm always chilly. Can't believe a nigga made a couple milli. About to cop the house way up in the hilly with a bad bitch in the Bentley. Wood grain with the roof gone. Make a bitch fold like a futon. Getting bread like a crouton. Tell me what the fuck is you want?
Lamborghini hot. Lambo by the crib. This is how we
sounds like a Lamborghini, you know what I'm saying?